Today, we're celebrating the Feast of the Epiphany. And Epiphany literally means manifestation. And Epiphany, this season, extends all the way from now up until Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. So it's a real season, a time. And it's really an answer to the question that we ask at Christmas. It's in the hymn, "What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping?" This time is about being able to go and see, being able to see that God is in Christ. What sort of manifestation is that? And to what extent are we able to, as the three kings did, bow down and worship? Or another way the church has always put forward this idea of Epiphany is the baptism of Jesus by John, when the clouds open up and he's the beloved son. So it's a moment in which God's presence becomes real. And hopefully you've had such moments in your life. There are moments that we all want and all, I think, very deeply desire to have inside ourselves. Prairie Home Companion. Does anybody listen to Prairie Home Companion? They've announced, actually, that they found the identity of one of the wise men. And he is an Episcopalian. And according to Prairie Home Companion, we know this because apparently myrrh is actually a code name for a hamburger and macaroni casserole. And also, apparently, the wise men mentioned to Mary that she needed to be sure to return the plate, said Garrison Keillor. So, but these wise men and this whole story, they are to represent who we are. We are the wise men, and because we're aliens, we are Gentiles, and not insignificantly, for this time, these wise men are homeless. They are looking, they're yearning, they're on a trip to see something, and so are we all on a trip to see something. Many of us, though, to be very literal, have never actually experienced homelessness for a sustained period of time. But according to the United Nations, 23% of people living on this planet do not have decent shelter. More than one out of every five human beings on this planet will have nowhere to go at the end of the day and rest. And these homeless people are not just limited to war-torn areas, not just limited to Afghanistan, Myanmar, places like that. It's said that in New York City, in those five boroughs, there are 62,963 recorded homeless people. Over 15,000 families, and it's up 75% from 10 years ago. So with all our work, the numbers have almost doubled of homeless people. Not only that, there's a special group of homeless. That is to say, homeless people who are 15 years old or younger. And in that group, the New York Times is reporting for 2017, 45,000 homeless children. How about that? And, you know, at our soup kitchen here, our marketplace, when we're serving groceries to people, just this last week, in the freezing cold, we had almost 100 families coming up, lining up for food, having bundled their children and put them in strollers with as many blankets as they could to get the food. And the number is growing, and there's a waiting list. We have 51 children enrolled in our aftercare program. We actually can hold 60. We don't have financing for 9 of the spaces for those kids, but there is a waiting list. The fact is that to get financing, as you well know, if you do not have the proper documentation in this world, you do not qualify for any financing. And you must be financed 100% in order to participate in a program. How about that for homelessness, for being an alien in a foreign land? But then there are also people who have houses or apartments, but who hesitate to apply the word home to these places where they live. I've heard some painful stories these past 2 weeks, as I do every Christmas, of conflicts among family members. And it came up in the reading that we did on Friday, the whole sense that the child in the reading, if you were there, the child Buddy and his second cousin, they don't feel at home in a certain sense in their own home. The aunts keep them from feeling that way. Maybe the aunts are the King Herod in the story. And finally, even if where we live is loving and supportive, there remains that hard to define but very real yearning for yet a greater home and yet a safer refuge somewhere beyond our reach, with love which is absolutely unconditional and security that's everlasting. Everyone has this in their heart. Where is that place where I am entirely safe, where I am always welcomed? And every one of us, even if we have that at times, can become quite shaky, like an alien, like a homeless person, when something happens, as it must, as it always does, to remind us that life is very, very fragile. It might be the death of a loved one. It might be just some earthly security that seems quite fleeting. I was coming home, actually going to New York on Route 80. I was just going to take a quick trip to New York on Thursday night, and I hit a patch of ice. I spun out and wound up going the wrong direction on 80 in a bank of snow. Waiting there for AAA to come, I was shaking. I thought I knew I was fine. I knew everything was fine, but my heart was shaking. Something like that, just to make us suddenly realize that you think you're in control, and suddenly, through no action of your own that I could detect, you are not in control at all. Homelessness is a spiritual reality none of us escape. Now, I want to think for a minute about the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. And I know it's cold this morning. I won't take long. But you know that large black slab of marble, which sits as our memorial to the Vietnam veterans, over 52,000 of them. It's polished marble, and as you read the names of people who've given their lives, or as the memorial says, been taken from us, you see a reflection of yourself. And that's intended. The whole point is that as we grieve someone we love, we actually have to see our own face looking at the person whom we've lost. So we see the grief on our own face and we claim our own homelessness. It says the names of those who gave their lives and of those who remain missing are inscribed in the order they were taken from us. And there are letters. There are so many letters that have come from family members, which you can read if you go to the memorial. But I want to bring up one. I didn't want a monument. This is written by the sister of a fellow who died. I didn't want a monument, not even one as sober as that vast black wall of broken lives. I didn't want a postage stamp. I didn't want a road beside the Delaware River with a sign proclaiming Vietnam Veterans Memorial Highway. What I wanted was an end to monuments. Monuments Monuments are simply a sign of our homelessness. The news I have to tell you this morning is that the God we worship knows what it means to be homeless. Right here, we come to the center of the meaning of Epiphany and the place that we can find the detectable reality of God. Homelessness has been the mark of God's people since the beginning of time. It's how we have described God's people. Adam and Eve left home to be homeless east of Eden. Abraham and Sarah left home in Ur of the Chaldees to finish their days as homeless nomads. The Hebrew people left home to weep by the waters of Babylon. Remember, by the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept, O Zion. We remember, we remember, we remember thee, O Zion. They're homeless. And Mary and Joseph were not at home on the first Christmas. The three wise men were also homeless. They were away from home, there in an alien land. In fact, Jesus himself was homeless for the last 3 years of his life. He says at one point, the Savior of the world has no place to lay his head. But what a great comfort that was. One time when I felt particularly homeless, and a friend of mine, a good Christian sister, said to me on the phone, well, Janet, the Savior of the world had no place to lay his head. What could be more utterly comforting than to know that our God knows the homeless place? And so it is in the birth, death, and resurrection of this homeless child that our God has transformed the meaning of home for all time. What is our home? Our home is love. Where is God? Where we see love. And anytime we see love, there God has been. And anytime we're able to love, there we have been touched by God. Or the sentimental song, home is where the heart is. It's true, isn't it? Deeply, deeply true. The Epiphany is the discovery of that love. And wherever it is, that's where we see God. And that's the meaning of the Truman Capote piece that we presented on Friday. And I hope some of you were able to come. Buddy and his cousin, they're both homeless. And I do really think that the ants are the King Herod characters trying to destroy their peace. But the home is what they find together and their love for each other. And that's always there, even when they're not together. The character of Buddy says, life separates us. I have a new home too, but it doesn't count. Home is where my friend is, and there I never go. So I ask you, please, this Epiphany, to spot this astounding God of ours in your trip, and to take a look at your own reflection, your own sense of homelessness, and to reach out with all that love you have inside you, and to see all the love around you that God has for you. Even if all you've got to offer is 32 fruitcakes. Amen.